Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Bruce Catton U.S., Grant the Civil War Years. Grant Moves South and Grant Takes Command is a two-volume Civil War biography centered on Ulysses S. Grant as a military leader, rather than as president or national symbol. Written by one of the most influential popular historians of the Civil War. The work follows Grant from his early command of the 21st Illinois Volunteer Infantry through the major campaigns that made him the Central Union General. Catton combines biography, campaign history, and command analysis, emphasizing how Grant developed from an underestimated officer into a commander capable of coordinating large armies across multiple theaters. The purpose is not simply to recount battles, but to explain how Grant understood war, handled pressure, used subordinates, and pursued strategic advantage when many Union commanders hesitated. The result is a narrative study of leadership, operational persistence, and the military transformation of the Union war effort. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Grant emerges from obscurity through practical command rather than political skill. Catton presents Grant early in the war as an officer with limited political polish and little influence within the army hierarchy. His importance comes not from patronage or self-promotion, but from an ability to impose order, move troops, and act decisively when conditions were uncertain. This focus is central to Grant Moves South, where Grant begins with volunteer soldiers who required discipline, instruction, and confidence before they could function as an army. Catton shows that Grant did not fit the image of a theatrical commander. His authority developed through plain habits, direct orders, and willingness to take responsibility for movement and combat. This matters because the early Union Army often suffered from commanders who worried about reputation, rank, or imagined obstacles. Catton contrasts that pattern with Grant, whose value lay in converting limited means into action. The book therefore treats Grant as a case study, and practical leadership competence becomes visible only when tested by confusion, incomplete information, and institutional skepticism. Secondly, the Western Theater becomes the proving ground for Union strategic momentum. A major strength of Catton's account is its attention to the Western Theater, where Grant first shaped the wider course of the war. Rather than treating the East and the Army of the Potomac as the only decisive stage, Catton follows the river campaigns, fort operations, and movements through Kentucky, Tennessee, and Mississippi that opened Confederate defenses. Fort Henry, Fort Donelson, Shiloh, Vicksburg, and Chattanooga are not presented as isolated episodes. They form a cumulative sequence in which Grant learned how geography, rivers, railroads, supply lines, and morale interacted. Catton makes clear that Western victories mattered because they broke Confederate control of key corridors and gave the Union a model of relentless operational pressure. Grant's success in this theater also changed the political and military imagination in Washington. He demonstrated that the war could be fought by advancing, absorbing setbacks, and continuing the campaign instead of retreating into caution. The Western Theater becomes the laboratory in which Grant's larger method was tested. Thirdly, Grant's tactical boldness is tied to endurance, logistics, and acceptance of risk. Catton does not reduce Grant to a simple image of aggressive attack. The book shows that his boldness depended on a broader command temperament. He accepted risk, but he also understood the need to keep armies supplied, moving, and psychologically engaged. At Fort Donelson, Vicksburg, and later campaigns, Grant repeatedly looked for ways to keep pressure on Confederate forces rather than allow them time to recover. This did not mean reckless indifference to loss. Catton's emphasis falls on Grant's recognition that in a war of armies and territories, delay could be as costly as battle. Grant was willing to operate amid uncertainty because he believed the enemy faced limits too. That perspective distinguished him from generals, who magnified Confederate strength or allowed logistical problems to become excuses for paralysis. Catton's battlefield writing makes the cost of combat vivid, but his larger point is operational. Grant won by linking movement, pressure, and persistence into a style of war that strained the Confederacy at multiple points. Fourthly, the move to supreme command changes Grant from field general to national coordinator. Grant Takes Command shifts the emphasis from battlefield emergence to the burdens of high command. Once Grant becomes the leading Union general, he must think beyond a single army or campaign. Catton examines how Grant worked with Lincoln, Washington officials, and other commanders while trying to impose unity on a war effort that had often been fragmented. The change is important because Grant no longer only had to win battles personally. He had to align separate theaters, maintain political confidence, and ensure that Union armies acted in mutually reinforcing ways. Catton shows that this role required patience as well as firmness. Grant had to manage strong personalities, imperfect subordinates, public scrutiny, and enormous casualty pressures. His advance against Robert E. Lee in Virginia is therefore treated as part of a national strategy, rather than merely a duel between famous generals. Patton portrayal highlights Grant's capacity to convert command authority into coordinated pressure, making the Union advantage in manpower and resources operationally meaningful. Lastly, Catton combines vivid battle narrative with character study of a restrained commander. The distinctive appeal of the work lies in Catton's ability to merge military narrative with personality analysis. He writes battles with close attention to movement, terrain, confusion, and human strain, but he also keeps returning to the question of what sort of person Grant was under pressure. The Grant who emerges is not romanticized as flawless. He is complex, sometimes controversial, and often underestimated, yet marked by steadiness and clarity once committed to a course. Catton's style helps readers understand why Grant inspired confidence among some observers while provoking suspicion or hostility among others. The biography avoids making leadership a matter of speeches or dramatic gestures. Instead, it shows character through decisions when to advance, when to absorb criticism, when to replace or tolerate subordinates, and when to continue after severe loss. This balance between battlefield immediacy and psychological restraint gives the book's enduring value. Catton makes Grant intelligible as both a military actor and a human being shaped by war. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a serious but readable account of Grant as a Civil War commander. Civil War enthusiasts, students of military leadership, and general readers interested in how the Union war effort changed over time will gain the most from it. Its practical value lies in its analysis of command under uncertainty. Grant had to act with incomplete information, withstand criticism, manage subordinates, and connect local victories to strategic purpose. Its intellectual value lies in restoring the Western theater and operational coordination to the center of the Grant story, rather than treating his career only through the later confrontation with Lee. Compared with many Civil War biographies, Catton's work stands out for narrative force and clarity. It is less narrowly academic than specialized campaign studies, yet more analytically grounded than a simple heroic portrait. Catton also benefits from a distinctive balance of scale. He can describe the feel of battle while still explaining why a campaign mattered in the larger war. Readers looking for extensive treatment of Grant presidency, Reconstruction politics, or modern historiographical debates will need other books. Readers seeking a vivid, disciplined account of Grant military development will find this a major contribution to Civil War literature. If you would like to support Bruce Catton, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.